The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
Good morning. I want to speak to you today from the book of Exodus. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 14. What I'm going to read is just two verses. And beginning in verse 13 of Exodus 14. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now these are the words of the Lord through Moses for the children of Israel. The Egyptians were pursuing them after they had left Egypt, and they had caught up to where the children of Israel could see them coming. And they cried unto the Lord. You'll see it in verse 10. When they cried unto the Lord, because they could see the Egyptians coming. And it says, the Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And what? They were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They cried unto the Lord because they were sore afraid. Then their cry to the Lord was to start fussing at Moses. Why'd you bring us into this wilderness? You brought us out here to die. We told you to leave us alone with the Egyptians. Leave us alone in Egypt. Better to be their slaves than to die in the wilderness. Well, no, actually, that's wrong. It's not. It's always better to be with the Lord, whatever the situation you're in, whatever the circumstances you're in. It's always better to be with the Lord. Even in affliction and pain? Yes. There's no hope in the world. And you could go back, you could stay in Egypt, but you'd stay a slave. There's nothing but hope with the children of God, with the Lord. There's a difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. The reason there's a difference between the children of Israel and the Egyptians is God put a difference between them. And I'm here to tell you today, there is a difference between believers and unbelievers. It is God that maketh thee to differ. There is no natural difference. We're just the same sinners that they are. We're just as wretched. Believers were, just as wretched and poor and blind as the world is today. However, there are those who are told to see the salvation of the Lord, and there are those who are not. That's the message here. Moses said unto the people, this is verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, see, this is to whom this message is sent. These next words that Moses is going to speak after this, that the Lord told him to speak after this, this message is for the children of Israel alone. There were no messages for the Egyptians. No messages were sent to the Egyptians because there were no message. There is no message for the world. There are messages about the world. There are messages about the Egyptians. One in this verse later. But that's not the same thing. I don't think we actually realize just how terrible that is. The gospel is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. But the gospel is not good news to everyone. It's very selective. You read this book, you read this Bible, and you will see God putting a difference between people. Jesus Christ said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I came to bring division, even among those of their own household, in the same house. I came, Christ said, to put a division there. The Bible, to some, is a closed book. You know, in America, especially in American religion, they have this thing where they think, oh, you know, God's fair. He's going to give everybody a chance. Salvation is not by chance. Salvation has never been by chance. You know, we forget sometimes that unless Christ has opened our eyes, our ears, and our heart to the scriptures, to us, the Bible at one time was a closed book. And that's a terrible thing. I can't even hardly imagine it now. But this is the message that the Lord sent to the people, to the children of Israel, who were here in at the Red Sea. And those three words, the first three words, start, fear ye not. Fear ye not. These are the first words of the Lord to these people who were just fussing about Moses and to Moses and about being here, that they didn't want to be here. God said, fear ye not. You know why those are the first words that he said? Well, they were sore afraid. God said, fear ye not. The reason they were there at that Red Sea, with the Egyptians behind them, cliffs on one side, water on the other, and the Egyptians behind. The reason they were there is because the Lord brought them here out of Egypt. Their circumstances they were in was a result of the direct work of the Lord God Almighty. Fear ye not. The circumstances may seem dire. The circumstances may indeed be severe. But fear ye not. If you are a child of God, you are exactly where God wants you to be. And if you're not supposed to be there, he'll get you out of there. He can take care of it. They were here. They were here because God says, and very clearly here, let me point this out. The Lord says to his people, he didn't say fear not. He said, fear ye not. You don't fear. You're here with Moses. You're here at the Red Sea. You were following what? A pillar of fire at night and a pillar of smoke during the day. And actually there was God went back and put the fire between the children of Israel and the Egyptians to keep them apart here. Fear ye not. Here's another reason not to fear. Because I don't ever want to forget where they are, these Israelites. This is an illustration. This is actually not an illustration, excuse me. This is a real account. This actually happened. Okay? This is not something made up to give us. But we see in this illustration, we see in this account an illustration of how the Lord God Almighty leads, guides, directs, and takes care of his people so that they will see the salvation of the Lord. Now, I do want you to never forget, and this is something that these Egyptians, these Israelites were being reminded of here by Moses saying, fear ye not. Okay? Never forget how you got right here at the edge of the Red Sea. Never forget how you got here just before you're going to see the salvation of the Lord, because this is a direct result of the Passover. If you are here with the children of Israel, if you are here, you are here only because of the shed blood of the Lamb. It was the shed blood of the Lamb and the death of the firstborn in Egypt. That was part of the night of Passover. It was salvation to the children of Israel. It was being passed over. It was redemption by blood for the children of Israel. But you understand, death was in every house of the Egyptians that very same night. When I see the blood, when the Lord sees the blood, I will pass over you. And the Lord does pass over only because of the shed blood. Because of the blood, you are no longer in Egypt. You're here. And the Lord says unto you, fear ye not. Fear ye not. There's a purpose, there's a plan for the children of God. And it is working out exactly the way the Lord has intended it to. We don't understand it sometimes. We don't see it until actually sometimes when we look back in times past at how we got here where we are now. And that's what I wanted to be sure and point out here. These Israelites and the Egyptians behind them are here because of the Passover, because of that shed blood, because of that salvation, because of that redemption. God passed over the Israelites, and they were thrust out of Egypt. Go away. Here, take our gold. Go away. These Israelites are here because of the blood having been shed. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no salvation of the Lord without that blood being shed. Never happened. It'll never happen. It never happened. It's because of the blood we are to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's because of the blood we are to fear ye not. It's because of the blood that we are here right now. And the Lord says unto his people, fear ye not. Paul explained it in Romans 8. If God be for you, who can be against you? Let me be clear, this is a rhetorical statement. You don't have to answer it, because if God be for you, It doesn't matter who's against you, because no one of any real consequence is against you if God's for you. No one who really matters is against you if God is for you. But let me be also very clear about this. There are those who are not with him and are against him. Marvel not, brethren. Marvel not if the world hates you. Christ said they hated me before they hated you. And they tried to kill him before his hour, and they may try and kill you. And it's possible they may even kill you. These Egyptians here certainly wanted to kill these Israelites. But God says, fear ye not. Why? I've brought you here. Because of the shed blood of the Lamb, I passed over you, and I brought you here, and I am with thee. Fear ye not. Now, how are we to manifest this fearing not? Stand still. These are commands. This is not a request. God doesn't ask anybody to do anything. God tells us to do things. We are to stand, but not only to stand, we are to stand still. You understand? This is a manifestation of God's grace. What are the circumstances of these Israelites at this moment right here? The Red Sea's in the front, the mountains are beside, and the Egyptians are behind. But think about it. Where were the children of Israel? First and foremost, they were exactly where God brought them. Secondly, they were where they needed to be. They were there where they were supposed to be. And God had this message for them. Fear ye not, stand still. Now this has got to be the word of the Lord, because I'm going to tell you something, man's nature would have never come up with this. Stand still? Stand still? That's not the way we work. When there's danger around, there's an old saying I use every now and then. When in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. That's basically the natural reaction to danger. The flesh wants to run, to fight, or to hide, or some combination of the three. And the answer here for the children of Israel in this place at this time he has brought them to is none of the above. God says, stand still. Now, we're not to be standing paralyzed by fear. He's, fear ye not. Stand still. We're not to be curled up in a ball. We're to stand still. But only when standing still can we get a proper view of his work, his actions, his doing. And I'll tell you this, that is not a natural view. God, when it comes time for you to stand still, he's going to make it so that you have to stand still. He's going to fix it. You got nowhere to go anyway. The Egyptians are behind, the mountains are beside, and the Red Sea's in front of you. You got nowhere to go. And guess what? Peter answered that question about our Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord asked them, Jesus asked them, he said, will ye also go away? Thousands had just left him. That's in John 6, in verse 66. Thousands have just left him. And he looked at his disciples and he said, will you also go away? Peter answered, said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You understand? There's a time to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because if you think you have somewhere to go, if you think you have somewhere to go and you can go there, you might as well go. If you think someone else has the truth, you might as well go here. If you have anywhere else to go, you might as well go. Peter said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And guess what? No one else does. Because only when you realize your utter helplessness of yourself will you stand still. Only when you realize you are lost will you stand still. Because we are to stand still in the sureness of a victory that is not our making. We must stand still in order to see the salvation of the Lord. Why? God said so. The scriptures say so. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. See is a good key word here. See the salvation of the Lord. You understand? See. It doesn't say work. It doesn't say help. It doesn't say participate. It didn't say salvation is available, salvation is possible. No, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We don't participate in his salvation. Now, there is something you'll do, but that comes later. I want to read you a quote here from a gentleman who's been dead for about 100 years. And he says, "There's a peculiar force and beauty in this expression, see the salvation of God. Because the very fact of our being called to see God's salvation proves that the salvation is a complete one. It teaches that salvation is a thing wrought out and revealed by God to be seen and enjoyed by us. It's not a thing made up of partly of God's doing and partly of man's. Were it so, he wouldn't have called it his salvation. He would have called it our salvation. It would not be called God's salvation. In order to be his, it must be wholly divested of everything pertaining to man. The only possible effect of human efforts is to raise a dust which obscures the view of God's salvation." That's why you're supposed to stand still, not be kicking up dust. I agree, because God's salvation is complete. And to be honest, perfectly honest about it, we just get in the way. The salvation of the Lord is not only completely wrought by the Lord, it is also only revealed by the Lord. It is to be seen. And it is seen by everyone who is born from above, who has been born again. Guess what? They see the kingdom of God. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born from above. What? To see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is entered by everyone born of water and of the Spirit. The salvation of God is just as complete and just as perfect as his kingdom. You will never see the kingdom of God without seeing the salvation of the Lord. Now, how does anyone see this salvation? This salvation of God. I got to hurry here. Here he tells us. Moses tells us. Which he will show to you today. You understand? We teach this and we preach this and we talk about this and people think we're making it up, or they think that it's not so. The only way to see the salvation of the Lord is for Him to show it to you. It's a product of revelation from God. Yes, He says, fear ye not. Yes, He says, stand still. And then He says, and see the salvation of the Lord, which, the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. It takes the work of God to see the salvation of the Lord. He has to show it to you, or you will never see. That's His work. It's His salvation. It's the salvation of the Lord. But it's also His work to show it to you. And He put you right here in this place at the perfect time to fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. And this is all possible because of the shed blood of the Lamb. There is no salvation without the redemption of Christ Jesus. There is no salvation without the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, and with that shed blood of the Lamb of God from before the foundation of the world, with that actual shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will fear not, stand still, and you will see the salvation of the Lord when He shows it to you. Salvation is of the Lord. And He will show it to His people that He puts in the proper place at the proper time. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Thank you.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.